AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to have you with us, Matt, Patrick. Patrick, do you have any plans this weekend to go out and look at the leaves? Because my God, is it gorgeous out there right now.
Not so much this week. Next week.
Next week you're going up to the North Shore, right?
Yep, that's right.
It is spectacular. I've got some reports from up north, by the way. The leaves are really beautiful up there as well. It is just gorgeous around the Twin Cities right now. So get out, enjoy this. This is one of the nice things about living in Minnesota is we get all four seasons, including an absolutely stunning fall. So I hope you have time to enjoy it this weekend. Joining me right now, Democrat of the day. He is the former governor of Maryland. He's also former mayor of Baltimore, former Democratic person seeking the Democratic nomination for presidency in 2016. He's kind enough today to join us about Joe Biden's campaign. Governor Martin O'Malley is kind enough to take some time with us today. Governor, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Hey, my honor, Matt. Good to be with you.
I got to tell you a quick story if you're okay. I was so looking forward to hearing you speak back in 2016 at the Mondale dinner, but you had stopped your campaign right before then, and so and I like Bernie, I liked Hillary, but I wanted to see Martin O'Malley, I'm so glad we get a chance to talk because I'm a fan of yours, my friend.
Hey, thank you. Not many people are lucky enough to even have the opportunity to run for president. I wish I could have secured a better result, not only for my candidacy, but for more importantly for our country. But it wasn't to be. But I did. I did enjoy being out there, and I'm glad to see in this round so many people embracing policies like moving to 100% renewable energy, and other policies that we advanced in that campaign. So, Matt, you know, each of us in the mosh pit of democracy does our very best, and we hope others will carry it over the, over the finish line. And I'm doing everything I can to help Joe Biden right now, and I'm so glad that he is our party's nominee. And this is our opportunity to correct the bad mistake we made 4 years ago and restore some dignity and decency and forward movement to our country again.
Mosh pit of democracy. I'm making that into a T-shirt, just FYI. talk about it. I mean, sometimes you get insulated. You're in your own city, Minneapolis, St. Paul, large city. But it's nice to talk to prominent Democrats from other places. Talk about your perception and your experience and just your disgust at what's been going on in this country with Donald Trump as president.
Yeah, I suppose, my take on all of it, Matt, is this, that when people fear that tomorrow is going to be worse than today, they start to act in ways that, in the hindsight of history, will look irrational. And in other words, when you have a candidate like Donald Trump playing to people's deepest fears, their fears of other people taking from them that which is theirs, the mentality becomes one of building walls and pulling up the drawbridge. We've seen this at other junctures in American history before, but we've never seen it really practiced out of the White House. Usually candidacies like that are prevented by the larger, consensus-building necessity of gaining a party's nomination. But in this case, that didn't happen. And so great countries sometimes make bad mistakes, but good people get to correct them in the very next election. And that's what we need to do. And be able to do. I'm calling you from Baltimore, Maryland. So in my state, Vice President Biden is doing very well. You know, he's a neighbor, having represented the state of Delaware for, adjacent to us for years. Your state, on the other hand, is right in the center of being able to save our democracy. Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan. These are the places where the politics of fear and despair has taken root. And you all have the ability to appeal to people's better angels, to be able to remind us that as Americans, there is no challenge too great for us to overcome if we work together. And that's what Joe Biden's about, man. He has a blue-collar work ethic. He believes passionately in that better future that our parents and grandparents believed in. And I worked with him as a governor, Matt, on the Recovery and Reinvestment Act. And I can tell you, I once said this to him, and he didn't take it as a compliment, but I said, man, you might have missed your calling. I think you would have been a great mayor. And then, and what I meant by that was that he had the humility to roll up his sleeve and sit down with the governors repeatedly, sometimes in person, usually on the phone, and ask questions like, why isn't this program moving faster? Why aren't we helping the people this program was intended to help by now? What is it that we need to do differently? What can we learn from one another? And all of those things are the hallmarks of a modern collaborative leader, very different than what we currently have in the White House and a president who, even when warned that a pandemic was coming, decided to lie to us and tell us that it was going to go away and it wasn't a big deal and more people died from the flu and all of those other things that have led to such horrible suffering for so many families.
I want to touch on something. I know you have a strong background in economic policy. There is this – the economy is something that is to a point being overlooked, but the economy is pretty much in shambles. The trade markets have been gone. The unemployment market is bad. Even stuff that's positive. Okay, well, we got good housing sales because the interest rates are low, but then you look at the rental market and it's been decimated. You look at, the stock market's going up high. Well, that's because they gave money to the Wall Street so that they could gamble on it like it was Atlantic City. You know, there really is no – safe port on our economy right now. Talk a little bit about that and how you feel Joe Biden would be able to tackle that problem, because that is going to be a massive issue for the next 4 years.
Yeah, well, I don't believe that the stock market's even a good indicator of the economy.
Not at all.
You have to – it's one indicator, but it's not the indicator. I mean, most people I know don't own stocks. They work hard. They serve other people. They build things for other people, you know. First and foremost, I mean, we have to return to the truth, that American truth, that our economy is not money. It's people. It's all of our people. And 85% of our economy is actually consumer spending. Activities by individual people, working for and with one another. And, you can't really have an economy that's vibrant and robust if people are afraid that when they go outside, they're going to die and catch this pandemic. So the foundation of a society is safety. And right now, and the primary duty of any commander-in-chief, we've been badly failed. But this pandemic, we totally missed the jump on it. And I was on a phone call the other day, or a panel the other day, with Dr. Wen, who you've seen on CNN, you know, public health doc, actually from Baltimore. She said something that was pretty chilling. She said, you know, 6 months into this thing, and with 200,000 Americans dead, I never dreamed I would say that we're worse off now than we were before. Her read on this is that we're probably maybe in the middle of it. It's going to take a collaborative leader, a commander-in-chief, to restore that confidence that consumers and Americans and workers need in order to make our economy go again. It's going to take something else, too, and that is some long-term investments that make our country a winner in this changing economy. Now, some people say we're going through a third industrial revolution. Some people say we're going through a fourth. Whether it's the third or the fourth, it's a big change. The winning fuel of this new economy, unlike coal and oil in the last industrial revolutions, is renewable energy. And Joe Biden's commitment to move our country to 100% renewable energy by 2050 is not only a national economic priority, not only something that will create tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of jobs, but it's also something that is a national security priority, given the threats of climate change and all of the entanglements that we've seen in endless desert wars that were fought on various pretenses, but at their core had to do with securing our oil. So look, I should take a pause there and come up for air from that long soliloquy. But, Matt, you know, it really is all about jobs, jobs, and jobs. Our economy was put on a better track by Vice President Biden and President Obama. An unprecedented string of positive month-over-month job growth. And that string even lasted into Donald Trump's presidency until he chose to ignore the national intelligence and the scientists and wrecked our economy by letting this pandemic wreak havoc in ways that are worse, frankly, in terms of response than any other developed nation on the planet.
Former Governor of Maryland, Martin O'Malley, kind enough to join us today. Talk about trade. We are, of course, in the Midwest, lots of ag. You talk to farmers here, the markets are gone. And not only are you looking at Trump's meddling in our trade, having hurt the farmers directly, one of the things which is a very scary thought process is that many of the markets that we had sold our products to have already started making deals with Brazil, Argentina, Australia, New Zealand, any place but the United States. And those are long-term contracts. Can the trade markets be recovered, or has Trump done so much damage to them that it's going to be a long haul before we get back our prestige of our trade markets?
I believe that we can restore them. I believe that we can make this better. A lot of it has to do with the credibility of our government, of our leader, on the confidence that when you shake hands with the United States or businesses in the United States or farmers in the United States, that the deal will be honored. We have a person in the White House who believes that the art of the deal is to violate the deal. So there's been a lot of damage done to our credibility. But Vice President Biden is a person who is familiar with the way this world actually works, not the make-believe way that Donald Trump would like to believe it works. And I believe that, you know, with some greater stability and some sanity and a focus on restoring American credibility, that we can open markets again for farmers. We're the breadbasket of the world. That should be both an economic advantage as well as a national security advantage, but it requires credibility in the White House, and we don't have that right now. And so other countries are trying to find a way to make it in the world without having to be without having to be at all dependent on the United States. And that's not good for farmers. It's not good for jobs here. We need a United States that's engaged and credible in the world.
Turning back, you'd mentioned coronavirus. Clearly, one of the things that's going to happen with this new Supreme Court nominee that's going to happen is the Affordable Care Act is going to be done. They're going to, because of Republican changes to the Affordable Care Act in 2017, they set it up to be where the Supreme Court would throw it out. But now that they have even a larger conservative majority, it is pretty much doomed. How do you feel Vice President Biden will be able to tackle this? Because clearly it's probably going to have to be a brand new version of the Affordable Care Act that's going to have to get passed before it will be able to go into law. Do you feel as if that's something that's going to be attainable, or are we going to be looking back to the pre-ACA days of annual limits, lifetime limits, and pre-existing conditions is, you know, the world that the Republicans are trying to bring back?
I have faith that we are going to restore our democracy, that we are going to, we might even win the United States Senate. And having been a practicing lawyer for a number of years before being elected mayor and then governor, I know that judges are kind of reluctant, Matt, to do things that are hugely unpopular with citizens. Courts tend to not want to inject themselves into things like taking away people's health care. So I understand, and we all should be worried and concerned about their forcing through whoever the replacement is for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I also don't believe that one, and let me say it in a positive way. Now that so many people have been able to secure health care and have that protection for themselves and their family and their children, I think it would greatly hurt the credibility of any court to undo that which the people's representatives have put in place and provided for our citizens. I don't believe that the ACA is finished and done, but I do believe that the only way to make it better is by electing Democratic senators in more states and by electing Joe Biden president of the United States. It's definitely in jeopardy, but we can save it and make it better.
Well, you're probably going to get Tina Smith back from Minnesota, so that's a good first step this election cycle. And I know it's hard to gauge from probably East Coast, but I'm pretty sure that Joe Biden's going to take Minnesota. I mean, there is a little bit of hubris there, but then Trump went up to Bemidji and did his, you know, Hitler cosplay speech where he talked about, look at all the good genes in the white crowd. And, yeah, I think you can count on Minnesota to stay in the blue column.
Yeah, I've noticed, I mean, the polling is what polling is, but I know that you've had a pretty forthright couple of Democratic governors in Minnesota. Your economy has outperformed other states like Wisconsin that's had Scott Walker for a while, And so God bless Minnesota. You all can save our country. But look, man, it's not just Minnesota. Everyone in Minnesota knows somebody in Wisconsin, somebody in Michigan. It's almost become cliche to say this, but we're all in this together. And especially across Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Minnesota. I mean, we're looking to you guys, men and women, to lead the way. You all have always had that respect, reverence, if you will, for the common good we share as a people. And it's really great to see you calling it forward now as we head into the stretch of this most important of all elections.
And Governor's right here. If you know people in other states, you should be calling everyone you know, making sure they're registered to vote, knowing how they can vote, if they can vote early, how they do that, where if they're going to go vote in person, where to vote. Make sure you make those phone calls and get everyone to the polls. And don't undersell yourself. Maryland is a spectacular state. I've been there a few times. I have had a great time every time. Love Baltimore. That is a great town.
Oh, thank you. And you guys have already started early voting, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. We started last Friday. You can vote in person. You can vote by mail. There's a lot of ways. Steve Simons, the Secretary of State here, he's got the setup in Minnesota is great. So it's really easy to vote. And, of course, you can always vote in person, too, coming up on the 3rd. Governor Martin O'Malley, the governor of Maryland. Sir, thank you very much. I appreciate the time. And by all means, I'd love to have you back anytime you want to come on my show.
I'd love to. Matt, thanks a lot. Great to finally talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Governor Martin O'Malley, governor of Maryland, and once again, former candidate for the Democratic nomination in 2016. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, the life and thought of Martin Heidegger.
Heidegger's Being and Time is widely considered a philosophical masterpiece.
Masterpiece? Maybe. Master pain to read? Definitely.
Well, you know, he's dealing with deep, hard issues.
Yeah, but does he have to use such impenetrable language like being in the world and thrown a head nut?
You got a point there.
Martin Heidegger, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. With the recent round of storms that came through the Twin Cities, some of you may have sustained damage to your roofing, siding, or windows. Call Snap Construction, the company we trust, to see if you sustained damage. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, and window company in the metro. Ryan, how are you able to help people that may have had damage from these storms?
Well, Chad, with experience, we've helped thousands of Minnesotans with their storm damage claims. If you suspect your home has damage or was denied in the past, give us a call for your free inspection. It can take up to a year for hail and wind damage to reveal itself. The insurance process can be complicated. We make it easy. We use the same costing software that all insurance companies rely on. As always, we stand behind our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. Don't wait. Call us for your free estimate or inspection today. 612-333-SNAP. 612-333-SNAP.
Crooner's Supper Club is leading the Twin Cities back to live performances this summer with two new distance-safe outdoor dinner show options. The popular Lakeside Drive-In concerts will continue with new shows added throughout the summer. And not to be outdone, Crooner's is also introducing a new Lakeside Cafe in its outdoor patio space designed to offer a more intimate, distance-safe outdoor dinner show experience. So head to Crooner's Supper Club off Moore Lake and Highway 65 this summer for some delicious food and great music. Make your reservations now at croonersmn.com.
AM 950. 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. How nice to have the former governor of Maryland on with us, Martin O'Malley. And I'm not joking, too. I was, you know, back in 2016, right before the Mondale dinner, I was excited because I was a fan of Martin O'Malley and was leaning actually towards Martin O'Malley that election early on. And then he withdrew from the race. But, I, like I said back then, I'll say it again, I was going to support Hillary Clinton or, Bernie Sanders. And the same thing goes for this election round. So, and as you can hear, there are some stories of him confronting people at the Capitol. Who have been responsible for some of these debacles that Trump has put forward. And he's clearly very passionate. So I hope he stays in politics and going forward. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I'll tell you what. I got to get to a breaking story here that, Patrick, you and I need to address. That's the serial squirter. Have you, and just in case you don't know what the serial squirter is, which I could be surprised if there's a lot of people like that would be like, yes, I'd like to hear more about this. On September 4th, Amanda Jacobson was outside of her apartment on Nicollet Avenue working on a vintage camper. As she dragged cushions from the curb from the front door, a car pulled up, its window went down, no one said anything. Then, all of a sudden, the driver was squirting me in the face with a squirt gun. It happened in Victoria on September 11th. She was out for a run, headphones in, making her way towards Lake Street on Bryan Avenue. Suddenly, something wet hit my face. Got into my eyes and mouth, she says. She like, okay, on one side of this, there is a comical element to the story. On the other side, there's a terrifying element to the story. People pulling up their car and rolling down a window and, oh, my God. She looked over to see a guy who had pulled up his car very slowly next to her and was spraying her with a water gun out of the passenger window. I called 911 to report it, which I admit I felt kind of silly doing. The city has a lot more to deal with than someone getting sprayed in the face with by some kook, she says. Always extra points if you get the word kook in your story. I just wanted there to be a report this happened in case it was bigger than just some single occurrence. She was right. It's definitely bigger than a one-off. Several weeks, dozens of women have reported being squirted with something by the driver of a dark blue or green car. Nearly all the targets are women or female presenting. Most of them describe getting hit with liquid that's colorless, odorless, probably water, though no one knows for sure. Darcy Fastner was walking with her husband and 9-month-old son September 19th. When she got sprayed by someone in an older blue sedan, the southwest corner of 42nd and Lindale. Laura was biking near 43rd and Colfax when a driver pulled up, reached across the passenger seat, pointed a water gun at her face, and squirted an unknown substance into her eyes and mouth. I got off my bike, flipped them off screen, something along the lines of blank you, and looked around for anyone who may have seen what happens. Ellen Finn, I like Laura. Ellen Finn was just moved to South Minneapolis. She thinks it was the first week in September. She was walking with her brand new roommates around the brand new neighborhood. They were at 35th and Pleasant. Someone pulled up in a dark sedan, which she didn't think anything of until water started hitting her in the face. Now the squirtings have happened in the South Metro, the south part of the city. Kathleen Lamb was also on her bike about half block from her Richfield home with the nearly 2-year-old daughter in tow. I first feel a ghostly feeling. There's a presence next to you. I look over and I see a bright orange tip of a squirt gun. She was hitting the square in the face. Some liquid got in her eyes, some in her mouth. It's possible the cereal soaker. No, let's go to the cereal squirter. I'm serious, cereal squirter. I might have to get a t-shirt with that on it. After about a month of being caught wet-handed, one South Minneapolis resident made a report of 5th Precinct Wednesday and told City Pages that officers had the serial squirters said the serial squirters were caught on September 22nd, and folks on Twitter have been saying the same. A call placed to the department on Thursday was not immediately returned. So, good news. Well, first of all, can I just say to this idiot that's driving around with this, you're lucky you don't have been shot. You are lucky you have not been shot. And as far as fetishes go, not the weirdest I've heard, but it's a little odd, man. uh, How you get to, if that is your thing, dude, how did you get down that path? I'm going to guess a clown car with a squirting flower was somehow involved. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. But ladies and gentlemen, good news. The serial squirter has been apprehended. Oh, God. Okay. Was the APB, he was a larger orange man with weird-looking hair. I swear to God, I thought it was the President of the United States. Hello, America. God, I don't. We're done with this topic. I am done with this topic. By the way, I showed the people on the camera during the last break. Jeff Stein, when he's come on with us, we've talked about the fundraising T-shirts that he is putting out to help out small rural towns in Iowa who have been wiped out by the storms that came through in August. You can see it on the live hello Facebook, on the Facebook live stream on AM 950 Radio, as well as the Matt McNeil Show page. You can go get one as well. The link is up on the social media pages. Go get a shirt. Help out the small town guys because they got wiped out. And the federal government is not going to help them. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. As long as no crime breaks out and the serial squirter is not needed anymore. I'll be back with more of the show right here in just a moment on AM 950.
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Schroman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Schroman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at schromanlaw.com. That's schromenlaw.com.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. I'm an idealist working to change the world. My show, Ellie 2.0 Radio, highlights other past and present idealists and the incredible things humans can do when we work for the greater good. You remember that idea about the greater good, right? I've got a vision of a better world where everyone has a place at the table. Listen every Monday from 2 to 3 p.m. and be inspired on AM 950.
Hi, Matt McNeil from AM 950. Toyota is making the best vehicles on the market today. The Highlander, RAV4, Camry, Sienna, all their models are sensational, designed for the driver. Once you realize which Toyota vehicle is best for you, the next step is to head over to the best Toyota dealership in Minnesota, Rudy Luther Toyota. And right now, Rudy Luther Toyota is offering 0% financing for 60 months to qualified buyers on the 2020 Corollas, Camrys, Avalons, and RAV4s. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
We had a guy running around town, rolling down windows and hitting women with water guns. Okay. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. By the way, we probably will sell out. I don't want to say definitively by the end of the weekend, but I'm pretty sure we will be. We got, of course, the first debate comes up here on the 29th. That's Tuesday. And, of course, Trump v. Biden, that's going to be happening over at Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club. We are doing a social distancing debate-watching party. We're going to be separated from each other. So we're going to be careful there, mask, all that good stuff. And as well, though, your opportunity to go watch the debate out at Crooner's. Limited, a very limited amount of seats. And once again, nothing at the door. We are not selling any tickets at the door. This is all you have to pre-order it, and well, a good likelihood that there's going to be full. They're going to be full anyway. So go get your tickets at am950radio.com, am950radio.com. go get the tickets today. And like I said, it's we are selling out because they're just not that – when you have to social distance on something like this, you got to keep space. So just keep that in mind. 952-946-6205. There is a hilarious thing the Star Tribune has done. They asked Paul Gazelka what he and the Republicans would be doing differently during the coronavirus. And so I got to read this because, swear to God, if the Republicans were in charge of the state, we would be looking at 10,000 dead in Minnesota by now. And I'm dead serious. We would have 10,000 people dead in this state already if the Republicans were in charge. As far as business regulations, we already have seen what Governor Walz has done, but Gazelka said, I'd have no limits on indoor or outdoor capacity at businesses, but the state would encourage people to comply with social distancing. So you can't do that. You can't on one side say there is nothing wrong, everyone can go in, normal capacity, nothing there, and then come back and try to cover your butt by saying, hey, but we're hoping you social distance. That is the epitome of what you want to do is this. And Gazelka, let's just be honest. You want to say to everyone, business is normal. Let everyone go do whatever they want to do. But you realize that if you say that, then you yourself are on record and are culpable for the criticism that you will rightly deserve by telling people to go into the mosh pit during the frickin' pandemic. And so you try to say, hey, we're not going to put any regulations on there, but I hope people would comply with social distancing. Owners of small bars and restaurants would decide for themselves how to stay open. Customers presumably won't patronize establishments that don't feel safe, forcing them to follow health protocols. So basically what he's saying is this. We're not going to stop you. If basically people don't show up, well, that will tell you that people don't want to be there. But there's enough. You've already sent the message. There is no need to regulate these businesses. So, no, you can't walk that back. School operations. This is insane. You want insanity? Listen to what the Republicans wanted to do. Social distancing guidelines would change from 6 feet to 3 feet. Based on the American Academy of Pediatrics guide that says, while 6 feet is ideal, 3 feet is the minimum. Oh, so you're going to go with the bare minimum and hope the 7-year-olds can keep an idea of exactly how 3 feet is. Hey, Jacob, we were going to go play, but that's closer than 3 feet. Come on, man. That would allow more schools to do in-person teaching with local school districts deciding if school hits a certain percentage of students that with the virus, they could opt for temporary closure, but you won't close them down. So you could have a school district with, 60, 70% of the people sick, and you'd still say, business is normal. Wow. These people would kill. Seriously, we would have 10,000 dead if Gazelka was in charge. Mask wearing. There would be no mandatory indoor face mask requirement in public places. People would be asked to follow CDC guidelines that suggest wearing a mask in congested indoor areas. Business owners could ask people to wear a mask inside if they wanted. But once again, you've already said there's no need to wear them. So anyone that tries to put regulations in place, you've already contradicted them. You can't walk this stuff back. Oh, we said all the schools should be open and the kids should be closer together. But now that they're all sick, we also told you you need to be personally responsible. Come on, man. You can't have it both ways. Testing. Gazelka only wants to test, long-term care facilities and testing on teachers. Well, you better hope I hope you're going to test on teachers because you're going to kill a lot of teachers. Decision-making. Gazelka, the governor's peacetime emergency power should end and power should revert to lawmakers to state policies for addressing the pandemic through the normal legislative process. If emergencies arise, the governor should call legislation together for special session. I want to remind everyone, Paul Gazelka has been invited and the Republicans have been invited to numerous meetings with the governor and the health officials and everyone for input on what they want to do, and they have refused to show up. That's not the governor. That's you guys. As far as long-term care, here's the one that's weird. It's long-term care. All Gazelka talks about is more testing of, senior facilities, long-term care facilities. Because basically what they've tried to do is imply that the governor isn't testing there, and that's the one thing we want to do is long-term testing, you know, care facility testing. That doesn't make any sense. Modeling, as far as this goes, models on the spread of COVID-19 would be factors in the GOP just makes decisions, but Gazelka said they would give more weight to the economy. So basically what he's saying is here, any medical professional that comes out and says we probably should shut down businesses, he's saying, I don't care. No, the economy is the most important thing. Crowd size. There would be no limits of how many people can gather for indoor or outdoor events, such as concerts, weddings, or funerals. Groups of people hosting events should make their own decisions about safety protocols, but Republicans would urge people to follow CDC guidelines and social distancing and masks. You can't have it both ways, jackass! Senator jackass. I'm sorry, Senator jackass. You can't have it both ways. You can't say there's no need for regulation. Everyone can go put 5,000 people in this concert venue, perfectly fine, and then come back and say, but wait, whoa, sure, we said you could go in there and do all this stuff, but now we're saying you should think about being socially responsible. You are such weasels. You're such cowards. This is not leadership. This is basic. This is the opposite of leadership. This is someone trying to take all sides. I'm for opening the venues, but you probably shouldn't go. Or if you do go, social distance. And no one else wants to social distance. Well, you know, that's really your fault. Then you went. You shouldn't have gone to the place I insisted would be open. Dear Lord, if Paul Gazelka and the Republicans were in charge of the state, we would have 10,000 dead Minnesotans. We would, without a doubt in my mind. The state fair would have gone on. God, can you imagine what that would have been like? Holy God. We'd have 10,000 dead Minnesotans. And they'd be out there saying, aren't we doing a great job? We're doing great. Only 10,000 people dead. Wow. Everyone, if you're religious or not religious, don't care, whatever. Be grateful that Tim Walz is the governor of Minnesota right now. Wow. Minnesota, and once again, with regulations in place, with these standards, one of the problems that we've had is we have Republicans undermining the health care directives from the state, openly revolting against the safety protocols they're put in place. Remember how Paul Gazelka is talking about we'd encourage this? Your own party is out there saying you don't need to wear a mask, you don't need a social distance, you can go and have massive crowd gatherings. I'll get to that, more on that in a second here. Minnesota Department of Health reported 6 COVID-19 deaths, 1,191 new infections, bringing the state totals to 1994 on deaths, 94,189 infections. Confirmed infections aren't necessarily a barometer for the severity of the pandemic, given the majority of positive diagnostic tests involve people with mild or no symptoms, but they do uncover the widespread nature of the virus. New infections are reported on Friday in 78 of the state's 87 counties, where 22 new infections reported in Martin County, where health officials are assessing the new level of community spread following an outbreak at a funeral. Paul Gazelka says, hey, go to the funeral, have fun. You can't have fun. You can't spell funeral without F-U-N. But then on top of that says, but, you know, even though we encouraged everyone to go to the funeral, you probably shouldn't be going to the funeral. Wow. There are only 4 new infections in Waseca County despite the prison outbreak, 8 infections in Winona County following the local college outbreak. It also sounds like St. Louis County is having a mess up there right now in their county. It sounds like things are really getting bad up there. So this is not going to get better because Republicans think they can negotiate with coronavirus. That's not how this works. And by the way, it should be mentioned too, and I'm pulling this up from Blue Stem Prairie, that we do now know the community where the armed men basically confronted the people from the CDC only trying to track down COVID-19 cases. A door-to-door COVID-19 testing survey has been halted due to multiple incidents of outstate Minnesota of residents intimidating and shouting racial and ethnic slurs at state and federal public health system survey teams. So I want to make sure we repeat that. they're shouting racial and ethnic slurs. Rural America, rural Minnesota, the heart and mind of America, the can-do spirit, the racial, the ethnic slurs. Hey, you don't criticize me. Clean up your own damn mess before you start. How dare you, man? No, go clean up this mess, will you? Please. The CDC pulled its federal surveyors out of Minnesota this week following reports of verbal abuse, intimidation, including an incident in the Iowa border town of Eitzen, Minnesota, E-I-T-Z-E-N, in which a survey team walked into a house, was blocked by two cars and threatened by three men, including one who had a gun. Frustrations with the state pandemic's response is totally understandable, said Dr. Ruth Linfield, a state epidemiologist, but the distinct difference than taking out frustration on other human beings who are trying to just help is out of line. The frequency of problems became clear last weekend when surveyors discussed their experience. A Hispanic surveyor was called a slur more than in the last week than her entire life, said Stephanie Yendell, a state senator, a state senior epidemiology supervisor. Insults came at doorways from angry people approaching the surveyors or just people walking their dogs on the other side of the streets. The surveyors trapped in the Eitzen incident were permitted to leave and did not file a police report, although I think they should have. You know, Gazelka, I want to make sure we point out something here. Before you start having delusions of grandeur about how you would lead the state, you need to go clean up this mess. You need to rein in your thugs. And I'm talking about the Republican politicians in rural Minnesota who are out encouraging this crap. I have zero doubt, Paul Gazelka, that you won't. Because you know why? Because that's your base. The racist and ethnic insults, that's your base. And if you were to go on out there and say this is not appropriate, this is unacceptable, and if you were to tell all your Republicans, hey, you need to go in these districts and let people do their job on testing, that you'd be terrified of the voters turning on you in these districts. So you say nothing. You sit out there and say, well, we'd leave it up to this. We want standards and stuff. But look at how rural Minnesota treats people that are only there to try to help them because you have vilified the CDC, the state's epidemiologist, the state's response. And Trump has encouraged this unbelievable racism to fly freely so that they see a Latino guy walking on the street who's just trying to help people and they can't stop with the ethnic slurs. Bravo, Republican-led districts. Bravo. Is this what you wanted? Bravo. Nicely done. This is why you guys shouldn't be in charge of a Lego set, let alone the state of Minnesota. It's embarrassing as a state that this is where you guys are at, that you have Republican politicians out there vilifying, insulting, firing up the hatred as much as they can in these communities. And then when these people get out there, of course, here come the ethnic and racial slurs. Dear Lord. You know, we are in a fight right now to where do we, in the history of this country, we have had conflicts. I mean, World War I was an interesting conflict on a local front because there were outright fights between towns in this country on who we should vote, who should go with. Should we help the Germans or should we help the British and the Allies? Because there were towns where they were pro-German towns and pro-Austrian towns. And it wasn't until later that when clearly the Germans were, I mean, when they blew up the shipyards in New Jersey, you know, they were sinking American ships, that the United States went on the side of the Allies. But, there were fights here. We are at that same point right now, where you have people out there, unless someone is calling these people out, unless you should be calling out the Republicans in these districts. Don't tell me for a second that if this didn't happen in a rural a district where a Democrat was the representative, that the media wouldn't be all over them saying, what do you say about the people in your district that are doing these things? It is a if we do not basically squelch this now, I don't know how in the world you're ever going to get this back under control. But the reality is that you've got Trump enabling the racism, and you got Republicans in the state of Minnesota enabling the ignorance. And it boils over when you just have the CDC coming through trying to test people for coronavirus. God forbid people try to help other people. Unbelievable. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
No matter if your kids sit at home on their laptops for online classes or go back to school, it's finally time to clean up the summer mess. And Zero Res can help. They don't just make your home look clean. Their patented powered water safely and effectively cleans and sanitizes carpets, tile, upholstery, area rugs, and more. So get back to clean with 3 rooms of carpet Zero Resified starting at just $139. Plus save 10% when you get your carpets and air ducts clean. Just mention AM950 when you call. That's 952-ZERORES or ZeroResMinnesota.com.
The St. Paul Art Collective invites you to celebrate with them all during October for Art Month. While we've missed many of our favorite in-person events this summer, our local artists remain as inspired as ever and can't wait to show you what they've been up to. The St. Paul Art Collective has scheduled a series of virtual and interactive events, including art crawls in Lower Town and Greater St. Paul. Log on to see Art for Sale, an exclusive member show highlighting the beauty of fall, and a live art auction. Events begin October 1st, and you can find them at stpaulartcollective.org or on Facebook at St. Paul Art Collective. Art inspires and art heals. Celebrate Art Month with the St. Paul Art Collective. Go to stpaulartcollective.org or on Facebook at St. Paul Art Collective.
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar, and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. You want some more proof? Okay, let me run through three Republicans right now. And there are some signs that things might not be going well for the Republicans. And namely, you've got Pat Garofalo? Now, if you know me, I've taken on Pat Garofalo a few times here, the Republican. And he represents the South Metro. He usually is one of the most far-right dudes out there, but lately he's all of a sudden a born-again Reagan moderate. Bring me the news reporting that Garofalo is now calling on state party to unendorse candidates with QAnon links. Wow. That tells me everything about his race right now. That right there tells me everything about his race. The fact that he is out openly rejecting what the rest of the Republican Party is embracing right now tells me that his seat is probably in trouble. And he knows it. And he's desperately trying to find something there. So that's not bad per se, although, you know, it's just, you know, your standard Republican when all of a sudden they're faced with the fact that the populace doesn't like them. It's like, hey, you know how I've been an extreme far-right politician for the last 6 years? Well, I'm really a moderate. Oh, thanks, Rod Grams. How about middle-of-the-road Republican ugliness? Senator Dan Hall down in Burnsville, he wants to remain a senator. He's published a few short videos about his campaign on his Facebook page explaining his political views, and then one about family funding our schools and why sports are so important. Wholesome fun. He also has one called Respecting the Sanctity of Life. Of course, abortion is a pretty common thing for Republicans to talk about, but Hall had a rather unexpected way of articulating his pro-life stance when he says, "When I saw the video of George Floyd being killed, my stomach turned. It was just terrible to just watch. It was terrible to just watch. Paraphrasing City Pages. But it reminded me of the discussions we have at the Capitol, the sanctity of life. Oh, okay. Well, thank God we could. You could use George Floyd to pander to your political whims. Wow. You disgusting creature. But speaking of disgusting creatures, there is a Minnesota Republicans were asking residents if they were prepared if Black Lives Matter comes to our city. Republican Jeff, was it Dotseth, D-O-T-S-E-F, S-E-T-H rather, wants to S-E-F. He wants to represent District 11A in the Minnesota House. He has a big event coming up here. This was on Wednesday the 23rd in Cloquet. Keynote speakers Jeff Dotseth, running for District 11A state representative, and Jason Rarick, state senator for District 11. Among the things that their topics they were going to be discussing, let's discuss BLM. Are you prepared for when they come to our city? Do you have a network of patriots that you can count on? Whoa. Where is BLM getting their funding? Yeah. So let me get this right. You're vilifying Black Lives Matter, and then you're saying, do you have patriots, which are basically these white yahoos with guns and cars. Is your patriot network ready to go so they can start shooting the black people? I'm paraphrasing, but you can see where the intent was of these two jackasses. Yeah. Let's put Republicans in charge of the state. That's no. Let's not do that. That's not a bad song. You can go ahead and start that up again. There you go. Rush, it's the Big Wheels. This is my favorite Rush song. I'm serious, too. I love this song. I'm exhausted. I'm going to go sleep for the entire weekend. I'll be back on a Monday. Till then, see ya! Love.